We depend upon your Holy Spirit for everything, and we just thank you for that great gift that you've given us. We ask that you will bless our time here during this meeting. May we encourage and lift up one another. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. I'd like to begin by reading from the Psalms. Just a few psalms. These are familiar ones. You probably don't need to even look them up, but I just want to remind us of a few things. As the week has been going on, we travel here, and by the time we get here, we're tired of traveling, and we have to get rested up. And what a beautiful setting we have, and hopefully we've all been able to enjoy it as well as we're here for a purpose. God's purpose, but we should be able to enjoy that. I have to keep reminding myself to set aside any concerns and worries that I have. I don't want to get down for my own sake and for everybody else's sake around me. So I just thank the Lord right now. At this moment, I'm feeling very positive and feel like rejoicing in the Lord very much. So Psalm 89:15 says, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn is exalted." Now, I suppose that's, picture someone blowing a horn and making music. Psalm 96:11 says, "Let the heavens rejoice, and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful, and all that is therein." You know, when you're happy and you are rejoicing, you look around and everything else seems to be rejoicing with you. You can look anywhere and it just looks as though, you know, you look up in the stars and you think that they're rejoicing. It's all coming from that Spirit of God that is within you. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord, for he cometh. He cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with his truth. If we're going to be judged, we want to be judged with righteousness. And we can have confidence that God will do that. Psalm 96:8, "Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him all the earth." Praise the Lord. And Psalm 98:4 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing his praise." We're going to make a loud noise. We hope it will be melodious, and I'm sure it will be. From past experience, I know it will be. Praise the Lord. So we'd like to have someone at the keyboards, please. And Hazel, are you going to come and help me? Are you going to be my helpmate tonight? I really appreciate her on the keyboard. She seems to know what I need. She knows when I'm standing up here and I don't know what to do next, and she will start something and make it all better. We're going to stand and sing, "When I Think of the Goodness of Jesus." When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul crieth out, "Hallelujah! God for saving me." When I think of the goodness of Jesus and what he has done for me, my soul crieth out, "Hallelujah! thinking of the goodness of Jesus. And I'm sure there are some of us who would really like to tell the rest something special that God has done for us. So we're going to sing this song and a few more songs. Just think of some of the things that God has done for you, and we're going to have a little bit of time for some testimonies a little bit later after we sing a little bit here. So just see how God would lead you in that direction. When I think of the goodness of Jesus, blessings and honor and glory be thine. I'm afraid to clap up here because Ernie will come and scold me if I clap in front of this microphone. So you just go ahead and clap if you want to. I'm not going to. There's some issue here, but he'll figure it out. Blessings and honors. Blessings and honor. Singing an action song here. couple of nights ago, and these young ladies in the front row were doing the actions. Do you remember what song that was?
Which one was it? Both of them.
You come up and stand up here and do some actions for us. We need to smile, and this will make us smile. Because I was smiling when I was seeing it before, but I know everyone couldn't see it. Okay, so which one are we doing? What was...
I want to see the soul marching, and then Harry heard the trumpet sounding on the soldiers of the cross. They did both of them.
Okay, let's sing Hear the Trumpet Sounding. Okay. Smile on our face. Let the dew of heaven fall upon my thirsty soul.
Thank you.
Well, some people have continued doing actions. Some have continued dancing. Let's keep on. I'm getting, being well entertained up here. Okay. Praise the Lord.
Sometimes I feel like heaven's home.
Yes. Great. To see the glory of the Lord.
Thank you.
God.
Spirit of the Lord, let's go forth all over the earth looking for those that would praise Him and worship Him. Yea, the Spirit of the Lord is looking for those, yea, that would render their hearts unto Jesus. Yea, and look unto the heavens and worship the Lord their God. For surely the Lord thy God does dwell amongst the people that have been able to give themselves unto Him and worship Him in spirit and truth. Oh, my little ones, cease not to worship the Lord thy God. Hold back not thy praises unto me, says the Lord thy God. For when thou dost worship me in spirit and truth with all of thy heart, I will come and visit thee, says the Lord thy God. I will pour out my blessing upon thee until you cannot stand it, says the Lord thy God. Oh, come unto me, my little ones, and call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things, says the Lord thy God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Surely the Lord dwells in the praises of Israel. Surely the joy of the Lord dwells in the praises unto me, saith the Lord. And surely a deliverance from depression dwells in the praises of the Lord. Oh, when thou wilt get alone and cry out and shout unto me, shalt not the victory of the Lord come forth within your heart and without you and within your being, saith the Lord. Oh, rejoice and give thanks unto the Lord. And lift your hands unto me and shout aloud unto me, saith the Lord. That the Spirit of the Lord may come upon you, saith the Lord, and deliver you and give you joy and give you peace, saith the Lord. Oh, cry out with joy unto the Lord with your whole soul and with all your might, saith the Lord your God. For I am your victory, saith the Lord. I am your strength. I am your deliverance, saith the Lord.
Praise my name. Yea, when you feel down, praise my name. Yeah. Yea, when you lay down upon your bed at night, praise my name. Yeah. Yea, as you drive here and there, praise my name. For yea, there is deliverance in praising me, saith the Lord. And as you praise me, you will be set free, my people, saith the Lord.
That which we have heard and seen with our eyes, we proclaim concerning the word of life. Therefore, the Lord saith unto us, for the flesh lusteth the spirit, and the spirit lusteth the flesh. But they are both contrary to one another. But if ye be led by the Spirit, thou art not bound by the law. Amen.
Amen.
This day, yea, don't worry or fear or depression.
me strength. Yea, it takes away your strength. But yea, this day, enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen. And yea, he will strengthen thee. He will strengthen thee for the things that are ahead. He will strengthen thee for the things that are behind. He will strengthen thee even now, saith the Lord. Yea, let the joy of the Lord be your strength this day.
Yes, amen.
Change you, but I will change your circumstance, saith the Lord.
Hallelujah.
I move across the face of the deep.
Hallelujah.
And I create, saith the Lord. I tear down all the barriers. I cause life where there was only death. Yea, I say, abide in the praises of the Lord.
The Lord.
The eyes but turn towards the light. Yea, my people, my children, I say to you, when you are focusing on darkness, the way is wrought with obstacles. The way is wrought with obstacles of depression, of anxiety, of fear. Yea, my people, when you focus on darkness, it appears as though the way leads to death. And when you focus on darkness, the truth is obscured and you see lies. But when you focus on the light, when you praise me, when you give yourself up to me, when you sacrifice your will to me, the obstacles disappear.
Yes.
There is no depression. There is no anxiety. There is no fear. Instead, there is joy and there is freedom. And when you focus on me and you focus on the light, you do not lead the way to death, but you lead the way to life.
Hallelujah.
And when you focus on me and when you focus on the light, you do not worry, do not fear lies, but you enter into the truth.
Amen.
If you focus on me and you see the light, if you give yourself up to me, if you enter into your ministry, you will not fear these things. You will not see the darkness, but not only will you enter into light, you will represent and reflect light for other people. Thus saith the Lord.
They sent the singers in front of the army. And when they began to sing, the Lord set ambushments against the enemy. So sing when you're down. Sing when you're tested. Sing unto the Lord. Praise the Lord. Lift him up on high. And he will set ambushments against the enemy.
But my two servants were bound in prison. Did they not know who was able to deliver them? And as they sang, those bounds, those chains fell off, and the prison doors opened.
Hallelujah.
Why would you think that the Creator of all heaven and earth and the universe cannot deliver you, saith the Lord?
Amen.
But yea, thy praises sing forth, for there is nothing that can bound and hold back my people when they sing praises unto me, saith the Lord. For yea, it is not up to you to deliver yourself, but it is up to me.
Yes.
It has always been and I will always be. For yea, is that not why I sent my Son to deliver you, saith the Lord? Yea, my people, remember the things that the Lord thy God hath done for thee, and praise him.
Amen.
Yea, do not focus on those things round about, but focus on the things that he has done, saith the Lord thy God this day.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Psalm 105, in the first verse, says, O give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, and make known his deeds among the people. I wonder if there are a few people here this evening who would like to thank the Lord for something that he has done for you. Give thanks unto the Lord and make known his deeds among the people. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, first off, I'd like to thank the Lord that I'm here. But a little while ago, maybe it was even last week, when you get to be my age, the years all run together. But I shared this in Calgary. I've been having a really, this is just a minor thing, but it was the Lord bringing me up short about paying attention to him every moment of the day. And I'd had a really frustrating day at work. And I came home and whined to my wife about it, which is like maybe once in the last 27 years, that I whined about work. I whined about other things, but rarely about work. And I think that I've been neglecting to acknowledge him every moment of the day and all the things that he does for me on an hourly basis. Because whether you know it or not, he does that for each one of us. Many, many times he has rescued us from calamity, and we're totally unaware. And in that day, I had let a lot of things get to me, and I was probably not a very nice guy to be around that day, which is, you know, as you all know me, that's pretty rare. So, you know, like a day without Rod is like a day without sunshine. But the Lord reminded me that during that evening, like the first thing I got home and I complained and whined, and my wife said to me, so did you pray? Yeah. Of course, I was totally brought up short. But you know, the next day, everything that had bothered me that day was taken care of in spades. It was, you know, and for me, I mean, I've been walking with the Lord for a couple of weeks now. But you know, we can forget to praise him for the little things, the daily things. And, you know, each moment of the day, you have an opportunity to shed abroad his life and his light and his goodness to those around you. But you need to be constantly reminded of that, or remind yourself of that. And, you know, even if your normal self is to be fairly upbeat and... It's not an unnecessary thing to remember where your real joy comes from. And your real joy comes from your walk with him and the light that he has put within your heart. And your responsibility is to share that light and that life with everyone that you see and everyone you meet. So I just like to thank the Lord that, you know, he didn't write me off. He gave me a good wife, and he reminded me gently that I needed to spend a little bit more time acknowledging him each moment of my day.
Amen.
Something that our brother Rod spoke about has just brought to my memory something I haven't thought about for well over 40 years. And that's the first time I attended a Pacific Coast camp, and it was held at Turner, Oregon. And a young lady by the name of Carol McKay worked really hard catching plywood off of a conveyor belt to earn enough money so that we could come down to the camp in her vehicle. Actually, I guess we came down with some folks from the Vancouver Assembly, and we drove home from Vancouver through the Rocky Mountains at night to Edmonton, where we both lived. And Carol reminded me today that as we were driving She had a vision of a moose crossing that road. And that's exactly what happened. And we just sailed right through that beast. And we just want to remind Nat and Brian what a miracle they have.
To give thanks to God for taking care of us even when we don't remember to ask or we don't think to ask. And the other evening when we had the meeting where we were able to invite to come up and be prayed over, I came up to be prayed over, and when they asked me what, I was like listing off and like I listed off probably like five or six things, and they prayed for me. And then I was talking to my friend Jess today, and I was saying, or it was yesterday or today, and I was like pointing at this thing. It was yesterday, pointing at this thing on my arm, and I was like, yeah, I think that's cancer. I haven't been to the doctor yet, and like it just, I keep planning it off, and it keeps growing back. And then I just, as I said it, I was like, I wonder why I didn't ask prayer for that, you know, because I was asking for everything else, and I just haven't been to the doctor in since I've had it. And when I got up this morning, it's gone down, and I'm just thanking the Lord in faith because it hasn't gone down since I've had it. Every time I plane it off, it just comes back bigger. So. Praise the Lord.
So, 4 years ago at this camp, I was going home to have chemo after a breast cancer diagnosis, just to go back when I had surgery. Just thankful so much for the body and every single one of you and what you do, and just the experience that I've been through. After, when I woke up from the anesthetic, I knew that there was people praying for me, and I woke up speaking in tongues, and the Lord said to me, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And through the whole experience, it's very humbling to have people come up, just like Daryl did this week, and say, I still pray for you every day, and Megan. And to know that we have that body, and we are so fortunate to have that body that holds us up. And through the whole experience, the Lord never left. And you just, the relationship with the Lord just grew so much closer. And I'm so thankful for Him and what He has done in my life.
Like Rod, I'm very thankful to be here as well. It's a miracle that our family's here. And I'm very glad that Megan had the opportunity to share our family's testimony. I just wanted to add a few things. Not that I know what she shared, but first I want to thank everyone for their prayers over the last number of years. I realized something at this camp. I was kind of going around telling people, we've put a lot of emails out. And I think everyone responded kind of the same way, which is, well, if you needed it, I'm glad you did. And what I was able to share with them, because sometimes they would say, well, I wasn't sure if I'd respond or not, is that that absolutely lifted me and carried me through the last few years. I probably averaged somewhere between 30 to 40 emails in response to every prayer request that I put, which I so appreciate. There's something that people probably don't know. And that is that coming back here has reminded me of a promise that the Lord shared with me about 20 years ago. And it's just, I guess, also a bit of an exhortation to anyone who's been prayed over for gifts and ministries that haven't seen those things necessarily come to pass. There's some very specific things in the prophecies over me, and I've struggled most of my life because I haven't felt that I've seen that come to fruition. And with this job that I just was offered, it seems like a fulfillment of that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is don't give up on the things that God has promised to you, even if it's decades later. Praise God. I just had a couple of verses to share, and I'll sit down. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I don't understand why we go through what we do. I know that God works on our heart and He changes us, but something is becoming very crystal clear to me, and that is that we actually go through it for others, not just for ourselves. And while Megan was giving her testimony here, the surgeon called our home. To ask if Megan would be willing to talk to another young lady the same age who has colitis and is going to require surgery. We don't go through things just for ourselves, we go through it for others. Megan is willing to talk to this girl, and may we all pray for Megan to have words of wisdom. But this girl is at the front end of what Megan's gone through over the last 3 years. And I pray that she won't have to go through it. But in verse 3, it starts by saying, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Such a wonderful verse. The Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Who comforteth us in all our tribulation. Why? That we might be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. For whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And I love this next verse. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. God bless you. We have a wonderful God of comfort, and I just thank you for comforting us and praying for us over the last year, number of years.
There aren't too many of us who have a 2-year-old wife, have just done our second wedding anniversary along with our 60th. On July 24th, 2 years ago, I was at work at the mini storage helping out there. My wife felt something totally different from what she'd ever had before, and then called our daughter, who happens to work for Transport Canada Medicine and understands many, many things that I haven't a clue about. She was having some strange feelings that kind of fainting and not fainting and whatnot, which had never occurred before. So our daughter came. The boss says, "Get out of here and get over there." He's a wonderful fellow to work for. And the reason she didn't call me is because I was used to all this thing for 40 years. She had been through a concussion when we got T-boned in a car accident. So we went, well, she went to the doctor's office, and everything was normal, just heck. And when she got up to get out of the chair, she suddenly had to grab it as she was pretty well fainting right there. And the doctor says, enough of this, to the hospital you go. This is on a Thursday. That night, my daughter and I and were waiting beside her at the admissions. Admitted her, everything is normal. Kind of makes you wonder why you're there. Then they finally got her to a bed about 5-6 hours later. Hooked her up to the monitors. And suddenly things weren't normal. Bells were ringing. And her heart pace went down to about 38, which is about the time you faint. So they gave her some medicine. It brought the heart rate back up. And a little bit later, the bells start ringing again. My daughter was starting to time it and see how long it took. Up she goes to the Mazankowski Heart Center. And later on that morning, they put a temporary pacemaker in. During that time, there had been 2 total heart stoppages. God's timing is wonderful. They told her it's going to be another 2 or 3 days before you get the permanent pacemaker. 6 hours after the first one went in, the second one got installed. I still have a wife. So on July 25th this year, we celebrated our second wedding anniversary, her second birthday. Praise be to God. One of the scriptures, important one to us, is, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And I guess we all want to be led by the Spirit, but I think we probably all recognize that there's a sort of a gap between where we are and where we would like to be. One of the things that's helped me, I've shared this a little bit in Calgary and a little bit in Edmonton, because these things keep happening, these recurring things, but I have one of the things that I do to try to bridge the gap, is I put a $20 bill in my wallet, and I dedicate it to the Lord. I say, it's your $20. You can direct it any way you want, anytime you want. I will do my best to obey you. And so from time to time, this doesn't happen very often, but every few months I'll get a prompting to give $20 to some person. Usually it's someone that looks like they really need the $20. That's how we got some hands up already. It's how Roger and I met at Safeway, was being prompted. It's a long story what happened. I won't tell you it today, but other than that, I didn't obey the Lord's first prompting to give him the $20, and felt very bad later when I left the Safeway, because I thought I would try to do a deal with the Lord. Well, if he's still there when I leave, I'll give it to him. And he was gone when I got out, and so I just felt terrible, because I really, all through the whole time at Safeway, I knew this, the Lord had told me to do something and I didn't. So I really prayed. I was in tears and asked the Lord not to give up on me, give me another chance, you know, next time. Well, he didn't wait till next time. He says, go back, he's there. So I went back, and there was Roger, and we had a wonderful first meeting and so on. And I've had some other experiences like this that I could give the details, and I won't take the time other than to say that they were at minimum providential, if not miraculous. In a number of instances, I know God uses that as a as a mechanism for me to bridge between wanting to be led by the Spirit and actually taking action to make it happen, if you see what I'm saying. And I'm learning lessons. One of them is that many of these incidences happen when I'm tired or in a rush. And it's either God's sense of humor or he's trying to teach me not to be in such a rush and not to be so tired all the time. I don't know. Anyways, what I'm trying to say is that when you get a prompting from God to be led, when he's trying to guide you by his Spirit to do something, you might have your own area that is preventing you from doing, from obeying. It might be that you're tired. It might be that you're in a rush. It might be that you're maybe spiritually lazy or not in tune with the Lord or not, or whatever. It could be a number of things. Just kind of mentioning that to you to think about. The other thing that struck me, and I haven't done this, so it's just theory, but maybe for other people it isn't about $20 in their wallet. Maybe it's an hour of your time to intercede for somebody, and you write out a commitment to the Lord and you say, this is an hour that belongs to you, that you can direct me at any time. I will go to my knees if you so prompt me. And you put that in your wallet. Or maybe, you know, maybe you have a ministry going like to the sick and it's going to the hospital. You write in there, you say, one trip to the hospital. You dedicate it to the Lord. You say, that is something that you are, you know, you can prompt me by your Spirit to direct me to do that. Now, it might seem a little bit goofy to do it that way, but if it's a bridge to help us to get into the practice of being led by the Spirit on a regular basis, I hope that, you know, with my $20, the time will come when I won't need to have one folded in my wallet for the Lord to prompt me. You know what I'm saying? And it won't be $20, it might be whatever, some amount or something else. But somehow we need to get from the theory of being led by the Spirit on a regular basis to the practice. Because I think the practice has the ability to change this world. Amen. And this small group of people, if we walked out of here and we all were led by the Spirit on a routine, regular basis, we alone could transform this world, I'm sure. Make a huge difference. So just be encouraged. I'm not saying do it my way, but if something, think about it. Think about what is it that's blocking you from obeying those promptings. And the other thing is, just last thing is, if God prompts you to do something and you don't, like happened to me this week, and probably a painful thing happened in our midst, just ask the Lord to forgive you. He's in for the long run. We make little mistakes along the way, and we're not always obedient to him. He's in for the long run. He wants to take us from kind of a rebellious, self-centered, carnal bunch of people to this glorious body of Christ that is so in his heart and in his vision, and why he sent his Son to come, not just to redeem us from our sins, but to transform us out of our sinful nature, which is far greater than just finding forgiveness for sins. And I don't say that in any disrespect for forgiveness of sin, but he's up to something far bigger than that. Praise his name.
That Daddy's back is all better.
Yeah, we just want to give glory to God for everyone that prayed for us and supported us week after week, month after month, year after year. And I just want to give God thanks for not only healing for Lane's back, but also wholeness, which is what the prayer of his heart was, like, don't just change this one thing, just change everything. And I just feel like God's really answered that. And I just want to thank God for our children who supported us and did chores and had good attitudes for the past 3 years and prayed every day at school and whenever they had someone ask what they wanted prayer for. So I'm just thankful for that. And fourth thing was I wanted to say thanks for this pregnancy as well, because it hasn't been an easy journey having kids. And God's been with us, and it was hard to have challenges for both Lane and I at the same time. And so I'm just really thankful for this baby, and I just wanted to leave two thoughts with you. One is Daniel 3:16, and I think what the point for this one before I read it is that it's been a journey of trust and trusting in God and declaring that God is able to heal Lane's back, to help us have children, but if he chooses not to, we still trust him, and we won't ever, we choose to never distrust his judgment of his will for our lives. So I want to have the courage like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king." So there's boldness. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." And I feel like that's the journey God has given for us, is to be bold and have hope. And if things don't end up going your way, still praise him and still be bold and say, even then, we're never going to deny you, Lord. Amen. And then, I didn't look this one up, but it's just when Jesus said, if you have 99 sheep and one goes astray, wouldn't you leave the 99 to go and find that one lost sheep? And I felt like the Lord dropped it into my heart that not only does that verse refer to a sinner coming to repentance, but it also shows us the trust we can have with God with our own weaknesses, that we might see like this one weakness that bugs us, and these 99 things, just to use the example of things that are going well. And so we can trust that the God we serve is going to come and seek out that one thing that's really hard for us or we don't have hope about. We can trust him, and it says that he will not, he won't break a wounded reed, and he won't put out a smoldering flax. And I feel like that's the heart of God for us, for those areas of our life we're really sensitive and struggling with, and it's the heart that God wants us to have for others that are going through tough times.
A certain gentleman asked me today, and he goes, "Why, you know, you like nature, why don't you join us?" And I don't think I gave him a clear answer, and but I think I'm obliged to tell a little of what happened. The reason why I did, I wasn't clear to the answer why I didn't want to join, is my way of sometimes being led by the Spirit is what Dan was talking about. I mean, it can be in the form of money, it can be in the form of a greeting, it can be in form of encouragement, it can be just picking the bottles and cleaning up the earth. And I do find a lot of fulfillment just by serving. And I am in commune and I am in touch and I feel that connection when I serve in whatever form and way. And so that's why I did not answer him properly. It's because I don't know, but there is the the scripture says, do not conform by the world, but be rather transformed. And I'll give this confession a lot of time, but particularly these days, I just walk alone, talk with him, sing with him, go over and meditate the scripture, and find fulfillment in all these, including serving in whatever form that it may come. And so at home I'm just blessed. I don't have to work and everything is okay, so I just seek refuge in whatever form. And one of them was to speak in tongues, and I think we prayed about this about a month ago. So I don't know if this is personal, I should say, but today it was so intense, and for the first time I've been praying so hard. God has put so much desire in me, and today it was so intense and I spoke in tongues, and I think I am very well pleased, but he is more pleased, not just of me, but of you, saints and angels. It was through your help that you always wanted to see outsider come in. Well, today, some of you that are far and from far away, it was because of your prayers and your devotion. You have saved someone from outside. And I'd like to thank you and thank the Lord. He is everlasting. Therefore, our praise and thanks should be every day. Continuous. Amen.
Good evening. So I was following a theme here. I was prompted to give a bit of a testimony from what Dan was saying, and then further to what Rianne was saying about trust. We've been through a time of testing, and in regards to work lately, with me working in trades and working primarily in commercial work in Calgary, a lot of projects have slowed down. So I recently had a period of I was laid off and was unemployed briefly, and moved from being an employee to a subcontractor through my own sole proprietorship. And it's been a bit of a learning curve, and the Lord is constantly providing for us. And so I just want to give him thanks for that. Through that, he's been really teaching me a lot about what it means to really trust him and what it means to believe that he will provide for us. And it's caused me to walk on a path where I'm navigating a tension between trusting that God will be my provider and also my family's provider, but I also need to fulfill the duties of a provider in the house, in the household, the head of the household, and being a father and a husband. So it's easy to get sidetracked on one way or the other and spend too much time at work worrying about providing and neglecting family, or it's too easy to, or it's also easy to get stuck on the other side where you are just throwing everything, oh, God will do it, God will do it, God will do it, and you're neglecting obligations to people in your community who may be your employer or your coworkers and whatnot. So God's been helping me to navigate a tension between those two. And for a while it was exhilarating just to have that understanding and that realization and to be living in that in spite of the tension itself. And then he made it clear to me that it's not just for my benefit that I come to understand that he is our provider. And it's what essentially it has done, at least up to this point, my understanding is that it has helped me to remove myself and my needs and my ego from the equation when I'm at work. And for this is part of a larger theme that I've been thinking about lately, in that God wants to be involved in my work and all of our work. He gave Adam and Eve work to do when he created mankind. So work is very important to God. And so I've had to really consider my testimony at work, and this has been something that God's been working on me through. So he's allowed me to kind of remove my needs and my self-focus, my self-interest to some extent at work, which results in me being able to spend more time thinking about and considering the needs of the people at work. And there's some of you who may work in trades, you are constantly in contact with people there. And I was talking to Lane about this, you can just put your head down and go to work and put your time in that day and go home easily. You can do that. Or you can choose to spend time, that extra 5 minutes here and there, talking to someone who may, you feel, need to talk about something. So I've had two opportunities to minister to people at work since having this realization. One coworker is a bit older than I am. He's moved to Calgary. I picked a terrible time to do it, but he's moved to Calgary. And he's a very skilled tile installer. That's what we do. We're tile setters. And he's trying to move his wife from the coast out from the East Coast to Calgary. But if he can't keep work, it's not going to work out for them. So I felt prompted to, I felt my heart went out to him, but then I felt prompted, you know, I need to pray for this guy. And I don't need to just pray for him at church or request prayer and then forget about him like I always do. But I need to pray for him. And so I just asked him if he was, believed in prayer. And, you know, he hummed and hawed, and I said, do you mind if I pray for you? And he said, that's great. So I prayed for him there. Because he was having problems with his knees. He's getting water on the knee, and if you're just trying to walk around, it's hard enough. But if you're working on your knees, it's prohibitive. You can't work. So I prayed for him. Didn't seem to make a difference. He still had to go to the doctor. He still struggled with it. But I knew, you know, as disappointing as it is to not have something happen right away, I knew that that was the leading of the Holy Spirit. Fast forward a few weeks, one of the other guys I work with, he is such a pleasant person to work with. He is always kind. He's always, you know, asking people how they're doing. Just kind of an exception in trades. And he was just kind of opening up. When I would talk to him, I'd spend a few minutes and talking to him each day, opening up that he was having some money problems. And over time, I was seeing that it was really affecting his demeanor at work. He was really down. He was stressed. He was really negative. It was really having a big impact on him. And I understand where he's coming from. It's very easy to get that way. So, and his demeanor is so pleasant that I thought, well, maybe he's a believer. Maybe he's just, I mean, I've met people who are super nice like that who aren't believers, but the way he kind of censored his language and stuff like that, I thought maybe he's a believer. So I asked him, I said, Chris, are you a Christian? And he paused and he said, well, I'm Roman Catholic. And I said, well, would you mind if I prayed for you for this situation? And he said, oh, absolutely. And I could tell by his response he thought I was going to go and request prayer and forget about him. And I said, no, like, can I pray for you right now? Right here. And he said, oh, absolutely. And he got up and we took our hats off, and I prayed for him, and I asked God to just help him to be able to focus on the good things in his life and to count his blessings and to not let this struggle that his family's going through overshadow his whole life. And the very next day, so he was very appreciative that day. And the very next day I came to work, and the first thing he did when I saw him was he just came over and he thanked me. So, I mean, he didn't hug it out or anything, but he was so grateful. There was no question. He was so grateful. And he said, you know, I really realized that, you know, I have my wife, I have my kids, or I have my kid. Life is good. And I said, oh, I'm so happy to hear that. I said, it's so easy to get focused on these things and lose sight of what's so important in our lives. And so I just wanted to share that, you know, as Dan said, it's so important for us to not to move from the theory of being led by the Spirit to being led by the Spirit and to engage in those kinds of activities that the Spirit prompts us to. And also, like Dan said, to not focus on the short term when it comes, like certainly when it comes to whether or not we obey, but also in what God's doing. Like, I don't know what's going to happen to this coworker of mine who's trying to bring his wife out. My prayer for him didn't seem to heal his leg at the time, but you just don't know. So just do it. Just you know, you're always like that first. You could be that first part of a series that is going to impact their life, or you're in the middle, or you're at the end. You don't know. So just engage in it. And then when Ryan was talking about trust, that's something that's just so dear to my heart right now, to really, you know, put my money where my mouth is, pun intended, and trust that God's going to provide for us and you know, fulfill the duties that I have and the duties that God's given me in the role that I have in my family. But also just to know, you know, if I don't spend that extra 10, 20, 30 minutes today installing and make that much more money as a peace worker, it's okay, because God provides for us, and He's the one that's going to that can see into the future and knows what's coming down the pipe, and that there are things so much more valuable than my own comfort. So I just wanted to read this scripture as I finish here. It's from Psalm 142, verse 7. It says, set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness to me. And what I want to focus on is that first part of the verse. We aren't set free. In my case, I'm not set free from that stress of worrying about where the money's coming from, just so that I can feel better for my own convenience. You know, set me free from my prison, that I may praise your name. And it's not just my vocal praise, but it's the way I'm going to live as a result of that freedom.
Sick, like he had tumors, and he had a heart murmur, and he peed a lot, but I think that was because he's male. But anyways. We decided that we, like, needed to get rid of him because we already had, like, three cats is a lot, unless you're, like, a crazy cat lady or something. But, so we sold him to this lady, and I was really sad because I was really attached to him. So I prayed that a little girl would get him, and she would love him, and was microchipped. So if he was lost, somebody would call us back, and like we had a backup in case we couldn't, they couldn't reach us, and that was my aunt Shannon, and she called us, and she's like, "Your cat is in an abandoned building, alone without food or water. Do you want him back?" So we knew that if we didn't take him back, he'd just get put down. So because of his heart murmur and everything, so we got him back, and my prayer was answered. A little girl did love him.
I wasn't going to come up here because I feel like a broken record. I think I've said this many times before, but my heart started pounding, and so I felt like the Lord wanted me to say it again. But I just want to say how thankful I am for the children. They just bless my heart so much. And I was just thinking, you know, what a neat God we serve when, like, a little 5 or 6 month old baby can minister the Spirit of the Lord to you. And I really believe that. I believe that our little babies have a ministry in the church. And because when I see them, they bless me so much. And like I said, I've said that a million times, but you kids are such a blessing. You just don't even know sometimes what your smiles and your words and your hugs and your songs do for us. So don't ever forget what an important member of the body of Christ you are.
I walk funny, but I'm walking. And you know what? There's a promise coming down that dusty road, and there's a healing coming down that dusty road. And I'm holding on to that. You know, where does one begin to count their blessings when every day is a blessing? Some big, some small. 56 years ago, this coming December, one of my biggest blessings was Mr. Wright was brought into my life. Literally. And then the Lord blessed us with 3 wonderful children and 7 terrific grandchildren, and now we have 3 darling great-grandchildren. And some of the other blessings, I don't want to keep you too long here. I know everybody's got praises and they want to thank the Lord for. Back in 85, I had my first cancer. In 91, I had my second cancer. But when I was having my first cancer, it was before I went in for surgery. I was laying in bed one morning, and I just was restless and fearful. So I went out to lay on the couch so I wouldn't be disturbing Dave. And as I was laying there weeping and praying, I had the most wonderful experience. Just a warm, warm, bright light just engulfed my body. And I had such peace and such rest after that. And then again, a year ago when I had my 2 strokes, the Lord's time was right on time again. Sometimes we think His timing is way off because we think it should be some other way. But if Dave hadn't been home that day, it could have been 2 or 3 hours later before I was found and I had my first stroke. But the Lord worked it all out. It got me to a hospital, to wonderful doctors, wonderful care. I've been so blessed. And as you know, our Cheryl, our daughter that had the 2 heart transplants, that's a really big blessing. And I just don't know. I have a couple verses I'll just like to quickly read that the Lord gave me with my after my stroke. The nights were difficult to sleep, and the days were fearful. I kept afraid I would have another stroke. And in Isaiah 41:10, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And for the night time, he gave me... let's see, it's in Psalms. Psalms 3:24. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt not lie down. Thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Praise the Lord, and it has been. And I just want to tell all of you how unique and special each one of you are. You've been such a blessing to me this camp. I've gotten to know some of you better, and I love each one of you dearly. Thank you.
I just want you all to know that she married Mr. Wright, but that doesn't mean I'm always correct.
So much to say, but I don't know where to start. Just want to cry. I feel your prayers. Barb and Vic and Marilyn, I feel your prayers. I was a very sick girl 30 years ago. I was diagnosed with bipolar. And God was always there. He never let me down. And I'm recovering now. And I know one day I'm going to get off that all the meds that I'm on, because I just know. It's getting better. And it's because of the love of each one of you that I get better. Because love is the greatest healer. And love will heal anything. Cancer, tumors, strokes, depression. Love is the way. And each one of you has shown that to me. Heidi, thank you. Lee, thank you. Mark, thank you. I'm going to name some names. Lenore, thank you for the lemonade today. That really ministered to me. And Heather, thank you. And Debbie. And Andy. I could name you all if I could. I wish I knew all your names, but I mean... Dave, thanks for taking us on that hike. Even though we had bee stings, it was fun. And I wouldn't miss it for the world. I thank you for all the speakers. That they're just amazing. Like, their speaking is just really ministered to me, and it's lifted me up. And, you really have a gift, this church, the Move. Really have a gift for moving in the prophetic. And you don't see that in every church. And Wendy, thank you. Just thank you. Jessica, thank you. I just love you all. Roger, Marcus, Brenda, thank you. Thank you, Laura, for coming to my bed when I wasn't well. Oh man, I could say more, but I just really feel the love of God here, and God is pleased. Hallelujah. And I don't know what else to say.
Thank you.
So the same cat my sister is talking about a few months ago, the doctor called us and said that the cat doesn't have the heartworm anymore. So we just thank him for that.
Once again, I just want to give thanks to the Lord and to all of you. I was blessed. The Lord blessed me when he brought me into the move. He introduced me to Wes 13 years ago, the end of this month. We've been married 6.5 years. Lots of ups and downs, but the Lord has always been there, and He's gotten us through. And I just want to encourage everyone, don't give up. Just keep praying and just keep believing in the Lord. He has a purpose and a plan. Even when you go through things, He knew you were going to go through it, and He will get you through it. And I also really, really want to thank the Lord. As a lot of you know, all of my health problems. And this is the first summer of camps that I have been able to walk without limping, without being in a lot of pain. And I'm walking further this year than I did the last number of years. And I'm just so thankful. Thank you for all of your prayers over the many, many years. Thank you for your love, your fellowship, your friendship. I love you all. Thank you.
Is this not important? Is it important? Is it? But along the theme of animals, I am so thankful that as an American, I got to see a bald eagle today. And thank you, Dan and Dave. Dave and Dave. Sorry. There was too many Lepsons there. No. A lot of wisdom. Anyways, but I want to say about the cat. My husband, when I married him, I thought we would never, I didn't have a cat growing up. My mom was allergic to cats. My husband was like, I hate cats. We're never having a cat. I had had a dog. But through a few cats that's supposed to live in the garage, and then eventually the one cat came inside, and I want to tell you how much comfort that cat has given us through many few years of trials that we've had. And my boys love that cat. And you're thinking, I think you're teaching me a lesson because we never did have it microchipped. But a lady came to me the other day as I walked outside to go clean my car out to get ready to come. And she says, "Is that your cat?" I said, "Yes." And she says, "He's been coming to my house, and I didn't know if he belonged to anybody, so I've been feeding him." And my son's like, "Well, that's why he doesn't want to eat our food." Anyway, so she took him to the vet and got all his shots. And she's like, "And I don't want you to pay me, that's fine, but you should get him microchipped." And I'm like, "Oh, well, how much is that?" And she's like, "Don't worry about it." because it's kind of like God gives us animals, but anyways, I want to say thank you for that, and we need to go home and get the cat microchipped. But I just really want to emphasize God's glory in his creation, and that how we can take joy in that, and the Lord can bless us by showing us special signs of what his beauty is that he's given us.
Amen. Well, I'm starting to think that Levisons have a thing for the microphone. There's been a few of us up here. I know many of you have been blessed by my daughter, Eileen, and I just want to share the miracle that she is, when and how God has just blessed us with her. When I was pregnant with her, she had a brain abnormality that we saw in the ultrasound, and the physicians advised us to have an abortion. And we committed it to prayer, and regardless of the outcome, we decided that that wasn't going to be an option. And she was born completely healthy, which is so amazing. And we thank God for every day. And then as she... this is a testimony of not only how amazing God is, but I know sometimes it's really hard when we see our children go through different trials, and it just seems to strike our heart in such a very deep way that sometimes nothing else can. As many of you know, I'm a speech pathologist, and I work with children, and I work with many, many children with autism, and that was my greatest fear, is that one of my children would have autism, because I just saw how it really robbed families of so much joy. And to make a long story short, Eileen was diagnosed with autism, and I was so heartbroken. I could hardly even look at her. I could hardly even hold her. I just almost was pushing her away because my heart was so broken by this, and we couldn't talk about it because it was just so hard for me in particular. We shared the diagnosis with my parents, I think maybe my sister, but I'm not sure that even Steve's parents knew, because we just couldn't talk about it. It was so hard for us. And one night I was praying for her. I couldn't sleep, so I went downstairs so I wouldn't bother Steve, and I was praying for her, and the Holy Spirit just kind of came upon me, and I was just laying prostrate on the ground because my heart was just breaking so much. And God came to me in a vision, and I felt like I was at the very throne of God, and he was right there with me in the living room, and he said to me, "Megan, ask me whatever you will, and I will do it for you." And, you know, I had a few different thoughts of what I could ask for. But really, why I was praying was for Eileen and for this autism. And so I asked him if he would please heal Eileen of the autism. And there was such peace. It was an amazing experience. It's been such a landmark in my life and in my walk with the Lord. All the things that our family have shared have been real landmarks that we go back to when things are tough, that I know God did this for us. I know God is real because I experienced this. And there was not healing right away. But in the course of about 6 months, there was healing, complete healing. And what is so amazing to me is God took her core deficits, the lack of communication, the lack of social interaction, and he's turned it into a strength. Eileen is a true Levison. She's extroverted. You know, there was no limitation with God. You know, as a speech pathologist, I have closely monitored all of their development. They've taken every test that is available to see how they're doing. And I mean, is excelling in, as I said, the core deficits of autism. And I'm just so, so appreciative to God. And again, it's such a testimony of how he takes our weaknesses and turns it into strengths. And just may all the glory go to God. And just don't give up when the answers aren't right away. Don't give up when it just seems too hard, that God is more than able.
Okay, so about last month at North Balfour Camp, my cousins had stayed with us because my aunt and uncle weren't there, but they all stayed with us, and one by one of them, each one got sick, except the youngest one, but each one of them had a stomach ache the last, whole day, and they wouldn't be able to go out and play, and they just stayed in their bed sick, and we brought them supper and everything. And then my brother Ian, then he got this really bad, he was really hot, and he was just curled up in a ball under these blankets with a fan blowing on him in the dark, and he was just staying there all day. I think he had it for 3 days approximately. And then we had an altar call during one of the services that we would pray for healing or whatever you needed. And I just felt that, well, I can't think of anything I really need at the moment, but Ian's there lying in bed sick. So then I went up there and asked for healing of Ian. And then after that, I just felt that, well, why are we praying up without him here when we could go to him and pray? So then after that service, I just went and prayed with him. And then my mom came and she's like, oh, you're still praying with Ian? And I was like, well, yeah, but we need to get more people to get pray with him. So we asked Grant Adamson, he's one of the speakers at our church, and he came and we just started praying and singing, and within about half an hour of us praying with him, he just went down to normal temperature, because he was really hot. It was hot to touch him, and then after we would pray for so long, you could touch him and he's not burning your skin. And then we took him out for a walk, and his stomach ache, it had healed, but then he was really hungry. So then he's like, can we just get something to eat? So he got him something to eat, and then the next day he was out playing, and then he was, we asked him, he was like, Ian, how are you doing? And he's like, oh, I'm fine. Why are you asking me this? But it was just that calling that we had to go pray for him, and we had to get more people to come pray for him. And it was just, it's not only that it was the numbers that helped, but it was also the amount of Holy Spirit that was in the room and all the power all at once. So.
So, a lot of issues with our chickens. So, we got chickens few years ago, and we've had problems with them laying, them being sick, them turning out to be roosters. And we're not allowed roosters in the city, so we had to get rid of a lot of them. So with my dad's back being bad, we kind of had to keep on getting more chickens. So we just stopped for a few years, I think, and then I think at the beginning of the year, we decided to get just 2 more chickens that we knew were hens, and we knew that they were going to lay, they were still kind of new, so they weren't laying yet, so we tried to make them as comfortable as we could, and so it took them not very long at all to get used to our chicken coop in the backyard that has been sitting there forever. And then now we get 2 eggs a day, and we don't have to buy eggs anymore.
Myself out of things, but my heart won't let me. I don't get the opportunity to share testimonies. Well, I mean, our local assembly is my family, so they hear it, but once in a while I'll put something on Facebook. But there are some that I don't share, except maybe with my husband or my mom. But this summer has been good healing for me. Oh, Eric told me to get a Kleenex. He knows me well. I miss my family, and I'm finding it harder to get home now that my kids are getting older and they're in school. And camp happened to be, like, the school year ran right to the end of, almost the end of the week, and it was so overwhelming for me to pack up the kids and finish their year-end activities. And I think it was Tuesday night before camp, and I was trying to pack, really hoping, and then I was getting panicky, which I'm good at. And I just said to the Lord, you know, Lord, I don't know what to do here. What I have to do is leave it with you. I know what I would like to do, but I'm getting really worked up. So I asked him to lead me as to where we should go for the summer and that. And it was a Tuesday. I was feeling pretty good. I was thinking, oh, I'm getting all these activities thing. I'm done with the kids and I'm getting packed up. And I got an email from a friend in a very desperate situation personally. And it scared me. And I didn't know what to do except just talk to her in that moment and then phone my mom and tell Eric, and we had prayer for her. And the following day, we got the news that Shay had been killed, and that was hard on me too because her mother is a good friend of mine. And I was able to hold Shay when she was a brand new baby in the hospital, and it was really hard for me to know what she, and now as a mother, what she was going through. And I thought, this is too much. I'm not able to go to camp, Lord. I don't know what your plan is, but this seems to me that this is just too much right now. So we decided that we would stay home. And it happened to be that the next week was a vacation Bible school that I was going to be the same week as camp, so I was able to put my kids in to that vacation Bible school, and then I was able to volunteer and help out with the kids. And during that time, I noticed a lady come in with her little boy, and I had recognized her because she was a lady who lost her husband last year that we had gotten to know through Awana that my son was in. And he was a pastor of the church, and he got bone cancer and sadly passed away last year, leaving his wife with 2 kids. And that was a very hard thing for me. And, well, everything's hard for me, but I'm kind of sensitive. But it weighed on me through the whole year. And I had no way of contacting her. We went to the funeral. We knew them briefly. It was a funny connection because her husband, Jamie, actually grew up in the Canwood Debden area. And he knows all the Amundsens and Vaudlins. And it was kind of a nice connection that we had. Anyway, she came in. And I should preface this by saying I'm really hard on myself. When I feel overwhelmed, I feel weak. And I'm too hard on myself. I'm told that all the time. I feel like, why can't I accomplish everything in the world? So I was feeling bad about myself, that I got too overwhelmed. But she came in, and I recognized her, and I went up to her, and I just said, I remember you. And I said, I pray for you often. And we hugged, and we visited a little bit, and she was able to open up to me about how hard this year had been for her. and how the grief didn't hit her till much later, and how this was the first time that she has actually stepped into a church since her husband died, and it was a big step for her. And then later she said, "I really appreciate you coming and reaching out to me." She said, "Most people walk the other way because they don't know what to say, but you jumped right in. And I didn't even think of it. And it just ministered to me. Like, the Lord showed me that my failures are His blessings." So while I felt like a failure for not being able to do everything and go visit my family, He put me where He needed me. And my friend was able to come out for a visit, the one that was in a crisis. And we laughed and laughed and laughed like old times. And she said she went away feeling happy and a joy she hasn't felt in years. And I didn't do it because I said to Eric, "I have no idea what I'm going to do this weekend. I just know I have to have her here." And I didn't preach at her or anything. But she's still struggling, but yeah, I guess I just, it was nice for me to see that my failures are not failures after all, when you're led by the Lord.
I just feel I'd like to thank the body of Christ for all your prayers for Rachel. And I want to thank God for Rachel. Our daughter has autism. She also has pervasive developmental disorder. She's considered medically fragile. She's functioning at about a year 7 level. And she knows the Lord. She speaks in tongues. I've heard her sing in tongues. She's been prayed over for her gifts. It hasn't been easy. I know that there were times of tremendous grief where I lost all joy and hope, but it sent us to our knees, and it helped us see that God is able to overcome anything. It matters not your intellect. It matters not how much you really understand. Rachel doesn't attend church. It is too much stimulation for her. But she prays for people. She talks to people about the Lord. She tells them that they swear too much, they drink too much, they smoke too much, and they accept it from her. She makes friends with anybody on the street. She can be the worst person to be with or the most loveliest person to be with. And God accepts her the way she is. And I thank God for all of you people who answer her on the internet. When she was in school, she never learned to read or write. When she got on Facebook, because of all the people that answered her and talked to her on the Facebook, she learned to read and write. So I just thank God for each and every one of you, and I thank God for her. You know, she's just precious. Precious as can be to us.
Well, first of all, I want to thank the Lord for the measure of health that He's given me, and also how He's helped me in different ways, because I used to depend so much on my husband, whom I miss very much. And but the Lord has been with me and has helped me. And sometimes I tend to get in a big rush for things. The Lord has helped me to minister to people, and I'm thankful for that. Sometimes places I'm going, I'm just getting a big rush. So recently I had a mishap with my vehicle, and well, I won't go into too much. The Lord just worked it all out, and the fellow that I took my car to, he just fixed the dent for free of charge, and I took care of the other persons so that I wouldn't be making a claim. Well, anyway, that's just one little fault, I guess. But I'm so thankful for the health the Lord has given me. I've claimed the healing over this arthritis, and I'm able to ride my bike. And some time ago I told a couple of ladies, well, I don't want to get old. And one of them said, well, good luck. So I thought to myself, we don't have to become useless, even if we are getting older. We don't, and someone said, you're as old as you feel, and there's some truth to that too. So if we claim healing and feel okay, feel like we can work for the Lord and be busy. I like to do some volunteer work, which I still do, so I want to be thankful to the Lord for all he does for me. But I would like to read a verse here. I want my life to be fruitful. And my eyes fell upon this verse here that says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And then it says, against such there's no law. Well, I want those fruits to be seen in my life. And I've told the Lord that if he gives me as long a life as my father had, well, he was close to 96, about 11 days short of 96. But I want to be really useful if he gives me that long, or if he gives me longer, whatever he gives me. We don't know none of us know just how much he'll give us. But if he does, I want those years to be useful in his service where the Lord has left me. For now I'm still in Cranbrook, and I am glad to be there. Mamie lives across the road from me, and I've got other members in the church there, and I've also got other friends that are not in the church, but I can minister to them and sometimes be a help. And that's what I want to do in the service of the Lord, where he leads me and what he leads me to do. So I just want to thank the Lord. I want to thank the Lord for my family too. Yes. It's so good to have Gwen and Mike visit me. Every year in the summer, they're teachers, so they have time off in the summer. And it's a blessing to have family home. And then recently I had my son and his wife visit too while Gwen and Mike were there, so they were able to visit together. And then along comes Paul and Michelle at the weekend, and I'm glad for them too. I'm glad for my son-in-law, Paul, although I've teased him about that beard and wondered when he's going to take it off, but anyway, I love him anyway the way he is.
I certainly can appreciate, Kelly, your sentiments about stepping out in faith and having your own business. It's been a ride, and you definitely know who your provider is. And anyway, I just thought I'd tell you about a little bit about this past year. I was asked to join a speech pathologist team, and I worked 2 days a week with 5 and 6 year olds that were delayed, and it was, you know, very rewarding to bring them from where they were to where they were by the end of June. But the rest of my time, the rest of the week was empty, and I could fill it with stuff, but I just felt like it was just stuff. And so I just purposed in my heart that I would spend time each of those days that I wasn't working with the Lord in the morning, that He would guide me and He would show me that day what I should do. And it just seemed like whether I was just organizing things in the house or whatever, it just seemed like it went just so much more smoothly. And there was times where I just would walk around I was just almost agitated after praying. I didn't quite know what I was supposed to do, but I just didn't feel like I was supposed to do anything, and I didn't understand. And often I would go and I would end up in a situation that was just exactly where I was supposed to be, but I wasn't supposed to be there a minute sooner or a minute later. I was supposed to be when I went, and I had to put in some time till it was time for me to go. There's this one time I had to do some photocopying, and I thought, well, the cheapest way to do it is if I went to the school that I work at lots, they'll give me a good deal. And so, but here again, I just felt like I knew that's what I wanted to do today. And so I went, and the principal was busy at the time, and I couldn't get into the photocopy. I just didn't feel to go and use it by myself, but I probably could have gotten away with it. But so I went home, and so I thought, okay, God, I guess I'm not photocopying today. What else do you want? And, you know, things happened. And then the next day I was in prayer again, and I thought, okay, today is the day I'm going to do this photocopying. And I just felt agitated and just didn't know what God wanted. And so anyway, I'm washing the dishes and I got those done, and then it's like, okay, now I can go to the school and do this photocopying. And I got there, and it was still, the principal was still busy, and I noticed that there's this family there, and they just walked in, and I didn't really know what was going on, but you could tell there was something serious. And they had a baby in the stroller, and they had a 2-year-old and a 1-year-old, and you know, all that speech therapy stuff just came out, and I just started playing with them. And you know, I was there an hour and a half. Their daughter had gone missing. They had the police called. They were just distraught, and there was nobody to look after these children. The secretary's, you know, involved with stuff, and the principal and the vice principal, and all the aides were out looking for this child. And I was there looking after these three little tiny children. And there was nobody there to look after them. And I just felt like God had me there at that time to do that. You know, with this, they finally found the little girl, and the police wanted to talk to her by herself. And so the little girl was in the room in the principal's office with the police officer. And this baby is like wanting to suck, and it's got these jowls on it. You knew that it was a nursing baby. And the mother was just sort of like just standing there. And I went to her and I said, you know, this baby needs you. And of course them were there, and she was a native lady, and she, they're very private, and she wasn't going to do it in the hallway, and so nursed the baby in the hallway. And so there again, I coordinate to get her in a room by herself. Just everything about that day was just quite interesting that it worked out that day. And then while I was there, that situation got looked after. Ian had a big altercation on the playground, and he needed somebody there right away. He'd been hit in the head, and anyway, I was there, You know, they didn't have to call me. I was there because I was there. And I don't think I actually got my photocopying done that day. But anyway, and another time, this was a little bit ago, the same thing. I had to go to the hospital for tests or something, and I had walked there, but I just felt too weak to walk back home. And so then I was just sitting in the waiting room, and God just told me to go into the emergency and see who was there and pray for them. And so I walk into the emergency, like I had to walk out, like around to where the emergency was, and I heard my neighbor talking. And so I asked if I could go in and see my neighbor, and I prayed with her, and then he says, well, I'm just going back home, and he lives across the street. And so he brought me home, and so I didn't have to walk that 20 minutes home. And I just thought, you know, isn't it interesting when we lay our lives before the Lord that He puts us exactly where we're supposed to be, exactly at the right time for the people, you know, and like going back to the family, the First Nations family, they have somebody in the school that could have, should have, would have been there. But I'm not sure where she was. And it just felt like God had called me there that day. And so I just encourage you, I encourage myself, not on the days when you have off, but every day to commit your day to the Lord. That you would be where God wants you to be. And that you would be a blessing. And sometimes we just go off on our own steam, like we all get up and we all breathe and we can walk and go. And we don't sometimes realize that if we put ourselves where God wants us, that He can do so much more than what we do in our own abilities.
I'm going to stand and sing, Jesus, We Just Want to Thank You. And then... And then Eric, are you going to come up? Do you have something? Okay, maybe right. Maybe do this first, and then we'll sing. What do we need?
We need a chair. See who's talking?
It's been a pleasure coming to Pine Lawn here with you guys. And I've had some difficulties sometimes at Pine Lawn here, so I'm praying about it. Little difficulties about my little sister, too. Praying about that, too. Also, I'm very sad about when the pastor died. So, I hope I'll see him up in heaven.
I just wanted to say that this last year I had a lot of struggles. I've been having a lot of trouble with my knee falling down, and I hit my head, and finally I got CAT scans done, and the CAT scan showed that one side of my head was really full of fluid, so I ended up having an operation. And then I also, because of my knee, I fell and I dislocated my elbow, and had to have that also operated. But thank the Lord, because of the operation, and with the operation and my elbow, I still was able to come to camp. Yes, I was grateful for that.
Thank you.
We need to know, let me do this now, we need to know who is not going to be here for lunch tomorrow. Some are leaving. There's two leaving. And how about dinner tomorrow night? Just the same? Anybody else leaving later in the day? Okay, not too many. Okay, stand with me and sing, "Jesus, we just want to thank you." Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Daryl, do you have another announcement?
It's not an announcement. This isn't an announcement, but it's an encouragement. We have come onto the grounds, and this couple that own the grounds, they've approached me, and the first person that talked to me was Bruce, who you've seen in the dining hall. And he said to me, he said, "Your group are really different." He said, "You know what's the first thing I noticed?" He said, "I noticed how the fathers tend to their children." Then Nikki came to me. Nikki talked to me this morning, and she said, "Your group," she said, they're just so different." She goes, she says, "Those children," she says, "you don't even, they're so well behaved and they're so well tended." She said, "Your whole group," she said, "they're just so different." She says, "We are so blessed to have you here." I just want to share that with you.
Just bow with me in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the ministry that we have received this evening from your body. We thank you for the encouragement that we have received, dear Lord, and we just ask that you will go with each one as we enjoy fellowship throughout this evening. Give us a good rest, and that we may come back and praise you again tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, one announcement.